Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Peter's second example of divine judgment is also his first example of divine preservation. You recall that he's giving examples of God's judgment upon the ungodly, upon the unrepentant, upon the unbelieving, to certify that God is a righteous judge and he does mete out righteous judgments upon those who refuse to trust in him. That is a message that the Bible makes abundantly clear, though the world in which we live often denies or minimizes this truth. But after giving the example of judgment upon the angels that sinned, for which there was no possibility of salvation for any of them, Peter secondly gives the example of God's judgment upon the world in Noah's day, in which the vast majority of the people in the world were swept away in the flood. They fell under divine judgment, but God saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. The same event that swept many away in judgment also brought salvation to a few. And this is the first example of divine preservation. God is not only able to judge, maybe that's not the right way to put it, God not only is certain to judge, but God is also gracious to save. He's under no obligation to do so, but on many occasions he does, and he has been particularly merciful to rebellious human beings. Not to rebellious angels, but to rebellious human beings. So we'll continue studying this account on this Wednesday, February 4, as we gather together around the Word of God and are enabled to do so by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. Now here are the first two examples from 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So just as truly as there was a divine judgment, and it was certain, God announced it, God promised it, and God carried it out after 120 years of warning and extending opportunity for repentance and for salvation, but God brought about the judgment that he had promised. But God preserved those who trusted him. Noah, a man of faith, a man who was a recipient of God's grace. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, who preached faithfully the message that God gave him with virtually no results. Only his wife, his three sons, their wives believed him. Nobody else did, but Noah was a faithful, courageous man of God. And though he was a preacher of disappointment in the sense that he saw little visible success, and to many would have been considered a failure, but to God he is considered a trophy of grace and a trophy of faithfulness. A remarkable man who would be faithful to his divine assignment in such difficult circumstances. And God saved Noah. He judged the world and those who would not repent, but God saved Noah and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. God saved him. God kept him. God guarded him. God preserved him. God brought him through the flood, the judgment that swept others away. And the point is that God will preserve those who resist the enticements of corrupted religion. And I remind you that the wicked in Noah's day were not unreligious, but they were unbelieving. Today we hear people talk about people of faith and include every religion in that category, as if there's something equal about all religions, as long as you have faith in something. There are some people who claim to be agnostic or atheistic. They don't believe in any God. They don't believe in any religion. But all of you who are people of faith have something in common, and we need to work together as people of faith. That's the idea that we hear today. But you see, from what little evidence we have, and there's not a great deal, but what little evidence we have of the population of the world in Noah's day, it is likely that all of them were people of faith in that sense of the term, which really is not an accurate sense at all. But only Noah and his family were truly people of faith in the biblical sense of that term. They believed God. They believed the Word of God. They weren't practicing religion. They weren't counterfeiting religion. They were not reshaping religion to suit themselves. But they took the religion that was revealed from heaven and believed the Word of God and acted accordingly. And that's all so clearly seen in the life of Noah, how he labored, he and his family, he and his sons, labored for 120 years to construct that ark to save them from the promised rain in a world that had never seen rain. They believed the Word of God, and God will preserve those who trust Him, and God will preserve those who resist the enticements of corrupted religion. And of course, all of this is an example of God's salvation for those who trust in Christ. The physical preservation of Noah in the days of the flood is an illustration of the spiritual preservation of all those who truly believe in Christ. Those who do are saved from the wrath to come. Those who don't, or those who corrupt the message of the Bible and reshape the religion that God has given from heaven in order to suit their own purposes, are going to be swept away in the judgment that God has promised. And so in this second example of divine judgment, we are reminded again of the certainty of judgment. There is no possibility of escape. No matter how many there are who are unbelievers in the sense that they do not believe the Word of God as it is given, no matter how many there are, even if it is 99.9%, God will judge. Certainly, God will judge the unbelievers. God will judge the rebellious. God will judge those who will not receive His Word, no matter how respectable you are in your community. I was having a conversation the other day with one of the men in our church. He was telling me about a certain situation involving some Well, some people in his family, for which he was very concerned and burdened, and when he talked to them about what the Bible says about this situation, their response was, well, we're not Beacon, meaning our church. In other words, they go to church. But their church in this area that was being discussed is unwilling to obey the Bible. And their response is, well, we're not Beacon. And as I said to my church member in our discussion, that's not the issue. Beacon aside, if there was no Beacon Baptist Church, the issue is, what does the Bible say? What does God say? What does God's Word declare? That's the issue. And if we are Bible believers, then we need to demonstrate that by believing what the Bible has written. It's not a matter of this church does it this way and that church does it another way. And I agree with my church, and your church does it differently. Well, in some things, that's perfectly legitimate, no question about it. But in other things, it's not, because the Bible is clear. And it's not a matter of preference, it's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing what God has given. And dear friends, it's a dangerous thing to reject the revelation of God and side instead with the majority that have decided that this particular biblical mandate is really not necessary. That's a very dangerous thing to do when we consider the certainty of divine judgment. But along with the certainty of divine judgment, we learn in this passage about the certainty of preservation. Those who trust in God are certainly preserved. There's no possibility of destruction for them. No matter how few they are, God will preserve all His true children, all of them, whether they be few or many. And thankfully, the scriptures indicate that there are actually many. But that's really not the issue either. It's not how many, it is all who believe. All, A-L-L, who truly believe the Word of God. They will be preserved. They will be protected. They will be guarded. They will be saved and kept from the divine judgment that will fall upon unbelievers. But a third lesson we learn here is the dangers of deception. Because it's very easy to go with the flow, the majority in the world, even the religious majority, and presume upon God's grace, and in the end, find yourself under the judgment of God, as so many in Noah's day did. God is long-suffering. 120 years before the judgment fell in Noah's day. But if there is unwillingness to honor God, to reverence God, to worship God for who He truly is, if there's no time for God in your life and in your family, if your church is a matter of convenience and low priority and basically a social issue rather than a genuine heart worship of God, then you are in danger of being deceived. But thank God, you haven't been judged eternally yet. You're still living, and therefore there's time for repentance. There's time to take God at His word. There's time for renewed seriousness, knowing that God is gracious, and God is patient, and God is long-suffering, and God is kind, but eventually God will judge. Therefore, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.